Let's open with a prayer. Our Lord, again, we lift up our hearts before you and pray as the psalmist presents to us, that you might bless us, that you might cleanse us, that you might open our eyes, that we may see. We may see the importance of walking with you, the importance of responding and being obedient to your word. We pray for that blessing and that cleansing, that revelation tonight that would bless our hearts and uplift our hearts into your presence, that we might walk with you this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to start Psalm 119 tonight. And as you can tell, it's the longest psalm of all of the psalms. Some 176 verses. So it's going to take us maybe two studies. No. Never happened. With Psalm 119, we're going to point out several things to you. And, of course, this psalm has been a blessing to many people since the printing of Scripture. And the theme of Psalm 119 happens to be the theme of this last and fifth section of the Psalms. Psalms 107 through 150, its theme is the Word of God. And that is the theme of Psalm 119, exactly, the Word of God. The psalm is broken down into 22 strophes. Each strophe is 8 verses long. And there are 22 sections. And the interesting thing about it is the way that it's arranged or written is called acrostic. Acrostic arrangement, which literally means that it is arranged according to the Hebrew alphabet. Now, some Bibles will actually have, right in the text itself, the breakdown of these verses, every 8 verses being a strophe and a section. The first of 8 verses, if you'll notice the funny little letter, some Bibles actually have the Hebrew letter there. It is the Aleph. The Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, what is fascinating about acrostic writing is that the first word of every verse begins with Aleph in the first 8 verses. And is this the way the writer? I mean, we see the flow of writing and the beauty of learning from the Word of God just from what it says in English. But to realize that the writer began each verse with the letter that corresponds with that section. And each section, and it's in alphabetical order according to the Hebrew alphabet. And for instance, the second section, verses 9 through 16, the first letter of every word of every verse in that section begins with the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is Beth, which is equivalent to our B. Every single Hebrew word begins with the Beth, the first letter of the first word of every verse. The third section is Gimel, verses 17 to 24. That's the G in Hebrew, and the first letter of the first word of every verse in that section begins with the Gimel, the G. So it's fascinating how a writer, of course it's not when you consider the Holy Spirit, but it's fascinating how the Word of God is put together and how that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, He would express ideas to us and things to us and have to, not that he had to, that's just a style of writing, that he would put the first letter of every verse with the letter that corresponds with that particular section. Each section is according to the Hebrew alphabet in letter order. So it's a tremendously written psalm. Also, I'm going to point out to you, I told you the theme of the book of Psalms is the Word of God. I'll point out to you as we go, and hopefully tonight we can take the first 24 verses, which would be the first 3 strophes. But the theme of each section, of each strophe, is built upon each other. for instance, the first 8 verses, the Aleph section, is the word of blessing. The blessing of God's word. The second section, Beth, verses 9 through 16, is the word of cleansing. And thirdly, Gimel, that would be verses 17 through 24, is the word of revelation. Now, when I say it's built upon another, and we'll see this develop as we go through, is that the first thing that the writer of the Psalms proclaims is, blessed is the man who walks in God's word. We'll study what it means to be blessed and how a person receives blessing from God's word. And once a person receives blessing from God's word, you receive cleansing, because God's word cleanses us when we respond to His word. And thirdly, after we have been blessed by being revealed from God's word, the things about us, and as we receive cleansing from God's word, then God opens our eyes for us to see the wondrous, miraculous things from God's word about God Himself, which the natural man cannot see, nor can they understand. And so it's interesting that it comes with blessing and then purification or cleansing, and then God, the prayer for the opening and revealing of the eyes to see the truth from God's word, to see the wonderful works of God. And so one is built on the other. We are cleansed when we respond to God's blessing and ministry through the word, and after we're cleansed, then we're able to see. Because sin blinds us. If our walk with the Lord is not right, we can't expect God to reveal to us from His word the marvelous, mighty things of God. And so, those three things we're going to study, and that'll be kind of our foundation. And as we continue through this psalm, I will show you how the rest of the sections are built on that. One is built upon the other as we go through. So, Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8, the word of blessing. The psalmist begins by saying, "Blessed or blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord." And so he's talking now in beginning this psalm with blessing. The first word is asher, which is the word for blessing, which in case you didn't know it, there is a Greek translation of the Old Testament, which is called the Septuagint. And the word corresponding Greek word here is makarios, which is the word that Jesus used in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. Blessed are those who. And he went on, and of course, every one of the Beatitudes is based on each other as well. One step leads to the other. And it's the same word makarios, which literally, if you were to put it into some kind of an English definition or explanation, it would be the pronouncement of the experience of the fullness of all that God is in your life. Just the experience of the fullness of all that God is in your life. And so that kind of blessing, that kind of experience, experiencing all the fullness of all that God is for the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. He is saying that a person is corrupted by not walking in the way of the Lord. If you want to experience God's blessing, first of all, you must walk in His way. And that's repeated over and over again in the Scriptures. Galatians 5, Paul talked about walking in the Spirit. James chapter 2, James talked about faith without works is dead. It is an active faith. It is a responsive faith. We walk with the Lord. It is personal and it is active. Then he says in verse 2, "Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart." So those who keep and guard His testimonies as precious, and who seek Him with the whole heart. It is interesting that the very first law that Jesus was asked about, what is the greatest of all the laws and commandments? He gave it from Deuteronomy 6:5 when he says, "Love the Lord your God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength." Everything that you have. It's not a half-hearted effort. It is not a partial thing. It's not a Sunday morning Christian thing to do. It's not a religious thing to do. But he says God's blessing is on you, first of all, if you walk in God's ways, and secondly, a blessing upon those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. That is the impression that you get all the way through this psalm, that the psalmist is seeking the Lord with his whole heart. In fact, the psalmist reveals that if you seek the Lord with your whole heart, you still will not be satisfied. In fact, that is the barometer, if you will, of a person who's seeking the Lord with his whole heart. If you're satisfied with your pursuit of the things of the Lord, you haven't sought him with your whole heart. Because the psalmist, when he sought the Lord with his whole heart, he was not satisfied. Because the more he sought the things of the Lord, the more he saw his weaknesses and his sins. And the more he realized how far he had to go. But it is interesting, the psalmist did not quit because of that. It motivated him. God needs more of my heart. He says in verse 3, they also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. So the people who seek the Lord with their whole heart, it keeps them from iniquity. It keeps them from sin. I mean, if you're walking with the Lord, and this is the theme of Paul in Galatians chapter 5. In fact, I want to point that out to you. I pointed it out to you before. Let's turn to Galatians 5 for a moment. A misconcept, I believe, from the Scriptures. Galatians chapter 5 at verse 16. Paul's theme of this book is that you're justified by faith and not by works. And that you are a child of God because you are filled with and blessed with His Spirit. But notice this, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Notice that principle and that truth. There's no two commands there. It's only one. He does not say, walk in the Spirit and do not fulfill the desires of the flesh. He does not say that. He says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Well, that's what the psalmist is saying. If you walk in God's ways, you will do no iniquity. You can't. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Notice verse 17. This is another thing I want to point out to you. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. It does not say the Spirit lusts against the flesh. It says the flesh lusts against God's Spirit. Its desires are against what God's Spirit wants. And it says God's Spirit is against the flesh. It doesn't say it lusts against the flesh. It just says it is against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. We saw that in Romans 7 where Paul says the flesh fights against the Spirit. There's a wrestling back and forth. That sin in his members is wrestling with the law of God, with his mind that he wants to serve the law of God. And so he says these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you wish. Now, some people use that last phrase to say, I'm in this struggle, you see. I have the indwelling presence of God's power and God's Spirit, and my flesh is lusting against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, so I can't do what I want to do. I can't follow the Lord because I got this big struggle going on. Literally, the text in its original language is indicating to us that the flesh fights against the Spirit, and the Spirit is there to keep us from doing what we want to do in the flesh. That's God's gift to us. And that's why, as we've been going through the book of Romans, beginning in chapter 6, Paul says, you cannot continue in sin and be a believer and have your flesh crucified in Christ and be filled with God's Spirit. It's impossible. You can commit acts of sin, but even John said that in 1 John chapter 3, it is impossible to practice sin. Because God's Spirit will be there to convict you. God's Spirit will be there to keep us from doing the things that we wish to do. See? So the flesh doesn't keep us from obedience. You see? Because the flesh would have to overpower the Holy Spirit. And God's Spirit has been placed there to keep us from wandering away from Him. And that's the whole theme of this text. What a blessing God's Word is. If we walk in His ways, if we walk according to God's Word, we will not sin. It's not a twofold command, it's only onefold. Walk with the Lord. Oh, what if I sin? Don't worry about it. If you concentrate on one thing and one thing only, you don't have to worry about anything else. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. You don't even have to worry about it. Back to Psalm 119. They also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways. So why do they not do iniquity or sin? It's because they're walking in the ways of the Lord. You have commanded us to keep Your precepts diligently. The word diligent in Hebrew means greatly. You've commanded us to keep Your precepts greatly. In other words, again emphasizing, not a half-hearted effort. Greatly keep them. Keep them completely. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Your statutes. Even the psalmist said, you know, I see that element in me that does not want to walk in Your ways. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all Your commandments. You see how he says it really takes the whole heart to seek after God. And you know, if you do that, what happens? You're going to see yourself for who you really are. And and the response is not condemnation. There is no condemnation. What it does is create in his heart even more of a hunger. It's a desire, oh, that I would follow the Lord even closer. He didn't make excuses. He didn't say, well, hey, you know, I do it good enough. You know? Yeah, I fellowship every once in a while. No big deal. I'm going to heaven. The more he looked into God's Word and the more he looked into God's commandment, the more he saw his need for Christ. The more he saw his sin and the more he saw his waywardness. And his cry to God was, oh, that my feet were just directed according to Your path. And he says, then I wouldn't be ashamed when I look in Your commandments. So he saw that when he looked into God's commandments that he was ashamed. Hold your place again, please, and turn with me to James. Book of James, right after the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. James chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, laying aside all filthiness and the abundance of wickedness, and receive with meekness, that is openness, the implanted Word which is able to save your soul. And so he says it takes openness to receive what God has to say through His Word. Put away the filth. Put away the abundance of evil. And with openness receive the implanted, literally, God's Word that is planted in you, which is able to save your souls, and be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. So it's not just listening. If we go to Bible study and just listen, we're deceiving ourselves. That's only the first step. We're listening in order to find out how God wants us to walk with Him. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Now, this is all Jewish, you see. They believed that when you looked into God's law, you were looking into a mirror. God was actually showing us Himself, but we saw ourselves as a mirror. God's Word was saying, look how you look, look what you look like from God's point of view compared to His holiness. Well, how would you like to have that to look forward to? But he says, if you're not a doer of the word and you're a hearer only, then you're like a person who goes and observes himself. He's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was, you see. So when he looks into God's Word, he sees himself as a sinner, and he sees himself falling short, and yet he walks away and he forgets. He just doesn't remember. He just blocks it out. He does not want to know or does not want to realize and remember what he saw when he looked into God's Word. That is a person who is a hearer only and not a doer. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, interesting, abides in God's Word, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Isn't that what the psalmist is saying? You're going to be blessed. If you continue in God's Word, and if you continue in God's Word, it's going to be like a mirror. It's going to show you your need for the Lord. And it ought to create in our hearts a hunger and thirst because we see our need. It is not for condemnation or discouragement. You know, God doesn't reveal truth to us out of His Word to make us quit. But that's what actually causes us to hunger and causes us to seek the things of the Lord. It's by looking into His Word, and He shows us our need. Back to Psalm 119. So He says, "Oh, that my ways," verse 5, "were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments." And so he saw that his ways were not directed by his word, that he was being disobedient. And the more he studied the commandments of God, the more he saw how far short he fell. And he says, "Then I wouldn't be ashamed if I walked with the Lord like I should." He says in verse 7, and what this produces, "I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments." And so it produced praise to him, to the Lord, with an uprightness of heart. So he saw that the only way to have an upright heart is to look into God's Word and have God's Word reveal our need, that we might confess to the Lord who we really are and our sinful ways and how much we need Him and depend totally on Him to direct our paths. Then our heart is upright. You see, it's not a heart that's perfect and has a perfect performance or is a perfectly religious person. An upright heart is one that's sincere and truthful before God. And you know, we're never going to change until we go be with Him. He says in verse 8, "I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly." And so there was a great concern in his heart, just as John was singing in Psalm 51. That was David's psalm where he was repenting over his act of adultery. And he says, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation and do not remove your Holy Spirit from me." There was a great concern. It doesn't say that it's possible to lose God's Spirit. But there was a tremendous expression of concern. "I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly." Now as we begin the second section, verses 9 through 16, this is the word of cleansing. We've had the word of blessing. And that blessing is expressed to us and pronounced for us in James. The person is blessed who looks into the Word, sees the commandments of God, and a person sees himself for who he really is. Now that's step one with God's Word. And may I say to you, with this long psalm that explains the function and relationship a person has with God's Word, if a person does not experience verses 1 through 8 from God's Word and in God's Word, the rest of God's Word will be closed. If I do not see my need for Christ, if it does not bring me to repentance, if it does not bring me to the confession of my dependency on Him, that without Him I cannot do one thing in order to obey His Word, because I see I can't do it, then I'll never get past. I'll never have the rest of God's Word open to me. Because I must have an upright heart. And so in verses 9 through 16, the word of cleansing, which is the second step. After I see myself for who I really am, and I've looked into God's Word, and I'm so blessed. It's interesting, he called it a blessing for God to show us who we really are and our need for Him. Some people think blessing means, well, you know, if I repeat verses 1 through 8 of Psalm 119 over 10 times a day, by the end of the week I'll be rich. You know. But the blessing is that God should show us our need for Him. And how much we need to depend upon Him with an upright heart. How much we need God to show us who we really are. It humbles us and keeps us in a place of need and creates a hunger within our hearts. But also that produces cleansing. Notice verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? Well, the first part told us that you're kept from sin by walking in His ways. Okay, once you see who you really are, how can you be cleansed? That's the question. It says, by taking heed according to your word. That's why in James chapter 1 that we just read, James says, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Well, who is a doer of the word? As a person who responds by taking heed to the word. In fact, the word take heed in Hebrew actually means to be a guard. The word of God acts as a guard over our hearts. As I respond to His word guards everything. It's like a filter that comes through. By taking heed to God's word, it means I respond as He reveals to me my sinful condition and how much that I need Him. If I act upon it, like James says in chapter 1, if I respond by confessing my sin and repenting of my sin and of my need of Him, that's the guard over my heart. And you could almost insert at this place, Lord, let me never lose the realization of my need for You. Once I lose that, then I lose sensitivity to everything else. How does a person cleanse his way? By responding to God's Word. That's how you cleanse your way. It is interesting, in the Gospel of John chapter 15, verse 3, Jesus told the disciples, you are already clean through the Word that I have spoken unto you. I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but I experience it every time we get together. Which helps give me understanding why, for instance, many years ago when we were down in Los Angeles, if there were two people who wanted to get together around the Word of God, we would travel all the way across Los Angeles and meet with them once a week just to hear the Word. Every opportunity to be in God's Word. Why? Because God's Spirit takes God's Word and cleanses us. If we have experienced verses 1 through 8, when we come to God's Word and we hear God's Word and we're open to God's Word, you can't help but leave and say, man, when I walked in, my mind, my heart was all cluttered with all kinds of garbage. I've been out in the world all week long. My emotions are going left. My mind's going right. I got this tug of war going on inside of me. The world's been putting me through the mill. And you come and it's just like the Word of God cleanses. That's what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5. That we, the church, are those that the Lord has cleansed. He washed us with water, the cleaning of the Word of God, that we might be presented to the Father, cleansed. And so there's a cleaning action, a cleansing action. So if somebody asks the question, well, once I realize from God's Word how sinful I really am, what can I do about it? How can I cleanse my way? Respond to God's Word. Don't just sit there, you know. Respond, receive it for what it is. This is the Word of God. Take what God's Spirit is saying. This is not a religious exercise where we get around together and study the religious book of our religion. And this is our duty and this is our religious exercise. God's Spirit is cleansing our hearts. Verse 10. With my whole heart I have sought you. Again, it takes the whole heart. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. So he sees again that he's seeking the Lord with his whole heart. And he knows that's how I'm going to be cleansed. How clean would your car be if after you came out of the car wash, you put it back through every time? You know? That's what the psalmist is saying. The more I stay in the Word of God with my whole heart, not just part of my heart, but keep my whole heart hearing the Word of God continually and responding to it, as God reveals His truth to me about myself and my need of Him, then my way is going to be cleansed. I'm going to be like that car wash, continually going through all the time, continually having the Word of God and the Spirit of God cleansing the heart and setting our pathway straight. But it's with the whole heart. And then realizing I'm still going to get dirty. You know, from the time you come out of the car wash and drive it around to the front again, it's going to get dirty. Even though I'm seeking the Lord with my whole heart, the psalmist says, yet, Lord, don't let me wander. You know? Our heart has a way of wandering, in case you haven't wondered. But our heart has a way of wandering from the things of the Lord. And wandering, you know, the word denotes a gradual slipping away that you don't notice. It's not on purpose. You really love the Lord and really want to follow the Lord. But, you know, events in life just have a way of just all of a sudden we're just kind of drifting away. He's even concerned about that. Lord, I don't want to wander away from you. Keep my heart. Your word, verse 11, one of the great verses of the Bible that people memorize, and I would encourage you to do so too. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. James chapter 1 that we just read said that God's Word is the implanted Word. And the word planted has to do with like planting flowers in your garden. The Word of God is not just to listen to. It's for the heart. It is to be taken in, not just listened to, but learned. I can remember when somebody taught me and told me, this is when I first received the Lord, how to memorize Scripture. There's a lot of different systems that are out there for memorizing Scripture. But I just began to memorize them, and this is one of the verses. I mean, you come to these verses that just say, yes. You just take it and memorize it. And it's amazing how God's Spirit, when you're tempted by sin, how that God's Spirit, through God's Word, hidden in your heart, it has to be in there first. After it's memorized and learned and is just part of you as a person, your mind and your heart. It's hidden in there. You can't get it out. It's ingrained, engraved in your heart. And God's Spirit takes that and reminds us from His Word. And when we step out to sin, God's Spirit takes God's Word and He convicts us of that sin. There's a lot of sins that we don't know about. If you learn the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you'll realize that most of our life is filled with sin. We don't even know it. And you know what's going to happen when you learn God's Word? You're going to know all the sin that you do. And you know in the Bible that's called a blessing? Because those are the things that are separating us from fellowship with our Lord. Those are the things that keep us from experiencing the fullness of all the Lord is in us. We have all of Him, but we don't experience all that He is, all that blessing and joy and peace, and the fullness of His presence that's with us all the time. Just if we could know that everywhere we went all day long, I could just sense and know the fullness of God's presence with me. Nothing to worry about. But it's hiding His Word in our hearts, that God uses that to convict us when we're right in the process of that entrance into sin. And Psalmist says, that's what keeps me from sinning. He said, blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. You see, he wanted to know more. The more I know from God's Word, the less I'm going to sin. And when I do sin, I'm going to be convicted of it right away. Because God's Spirit is going to take God's Word and says, God's Word says this. We're going to be convicted. So he says, then teach me. Lord, you're blessed. What a great opportunity. I want to hide as much of your word and the truth of your word in your heart, in my heart as I can. Teach me. It creates another hunger. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. The word mouth in Hebrew is literally the word word. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your word. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. So the testimony of the Lord and the judgments of the Lord, he rejoiced in them and found satisfaction in them more than any other riches that he could think of in the world. Verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your way. The word meditation literally means, and it's a word used for how a cow would chew the cud, and how the cow chews and then swallows it and then brings it back up again to regurgitates it and chews it again. Well, that's where we get the term meditation from. Meditation doesn't mean just to think about it. It means to memorize, put it away for a while, bring it back again. Do you know it? You know, keep reviewing. It has a way of review. And so it's not just a matter of just listening to things. It has to do with continually going over it and over it and over it and over it. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. So contemplate has to do with, after we meditate, it brings it back to memory and back to mind, and then we think on the things. You know how your mind just takes off from there and applies it to certain things, and it's not just a truth, but that truth takes you off into various areas of your life. And so he says, as I meditate on your precepts and your truths, I contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Now, he's denoting here that if you do not want to forget the Word of God, you must meditate. In order to meditate, you have to hide the Word of God in your heart. And so it involves memorizing, reviewing constantly. You know why? Because we have a tendency to forget. That blessing that we received from God's truth, from His Word, a year ago. If we had a quiz, most wouldn't remember. And so, how is a person cleansed? By taking heed according to your word. It means the first section, verses 1 through 8, that's the hearing of the word, as it shows us who we are. Verses 9 through 16, that's the doing of the word. It's responding to who we are, as God's word shows us. And not only do we respond to the truth of God's Word, but we want more of it. If God's Word reveals the sin in me and my need for Christ, then give me more of it so I continue to see my need. And don't let me forget the Word, because the psalmist is saying that's the key. You get away from the Word, you stop seeing who you are. And when you stop seeing who you are, then all of a sudden the spiritual dust and dirt begins to build up. And the only way I can keep my way cleansed is to take heed to His Word. Thirdly, for tonight, the last section, verses 17 through 24, the Word of Revelation. After we see ourselves for who we are, and after we ask for God to cleanse us and to forgive us and to keep us on the path, and we see the need to continue to stay into God's Word because of it, God begins to reveal things to us. Now, God reveals things from His Word to the pure of heart. It doesn't mean to perfect people, but it means to people whose hearts are clean and cleansed. So the more I stay in His Word, the more it cleanses my heart, and so the more my heart is clean, the more He reveals Himself to me, you see. So He says in verse 17, deal bountifully with your servant. Literally, reward your servant, that I may live and keep your word. I think that's a fascinating prayer. You know, if we were told tonight that we were not going to live much longer, and you had your prayer to God as to God would say, okay, I'm going to give you one prayer. Tell me why I should allow you to live any longer. You know, you say, well, my family needs me. Any number of things that you can think of. Oh, there's still places I wanted to go. Well, Lord, I already paid for my plane tickets for my vacation. You know, anything. The psalmist says, Lord, reward me to live longer so that I can keep your word. That's amazing. In a culture where we like to hear God's word because God ministers to us and blesses us, yet we're not obsessed with it. In fact, the psalmist opened up the Psalms in Psalm 1. Said, blessed is the one who meditates in the law of the Lord day and night. Continuously is what we do. He says, let me live. Reward me that my days on earth would be long so that I can keep your word. Wow. What a motivation. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. The term wondrous things in Hebrew actually means things that are beyond the human. Miraculous things. Things of the supernatural. I would use the word supernatural. Something that is spiritual, that belongs to God, and it is not of man. Well, that's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That the natural man in his natural state cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. But it takes God's Spirit. God's Spirit searches and knows the deep things of God, and it is God's Spirit that reveals these things to God's people. It takes revelation. And so the psalmist's prayer now is, open my eyes that I may see supernatural things from your law. In other words, I just don't want to see the law. I want to see the one behind it. I want to see God. I want to understand and see His supernatural works in the lives of people as I go through the law, so that I can know Him. I just don't want to read it and have it be some kind of religious exercise. He says, I am a stranger upon the earth. Now that's why He wants to see wondrous things. You know, it's like if you found yourself in a foreign country. You want to get some help. You know, where am I? Where do I go? What do I do from here? Well, He says, I'm a stranger upon the earth, and so open my eyes so that I can see the supernatural things from your law. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. Now, that's all the time. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. That's what he learns from his judgments. And you know, you can also learn from God's judgments. You say, oh gee, I don't want to study God's judgments. I want to study his blessings. Well, you know what happens when you study God's judgments? It keeps you from straying away. When you learn what God's judgments are for certain sins, you don't do them. And if you do them, you experience them. See? So he says, teach me your judgments. And he says, you rebuke the proud, that is the cursed, who stray from your commandments. So he says, I read in your word what those judgments are that upon those who stray away from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimony. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Now, one of the things that you're sensitive to, and this it's not an attitude of holier than thou, but one of the things that you're sensitive to is that if you meditate on God's Word, you're going to find a lot of people are going to be against you. There's going to be reproach thrown at you, contempt thrown at you by those who are not following God's Word. And these are princes or leaders, heads of families, whatever the case may be, who also sit and speak against me. But your servant meditates on your statutes. Now, all of these people, reproach, contempt, and the people who sit and talk and speak against me, what does he say about it? Remove them. It's being very sensitive to the fact that if you want to seek the Lord with your whole heart, and if you're around people that don't, it's going to hurt your walk. He doesn't want any of that around him. He says, first of all, I want to learn what God's testimonies are. I rejoice in those. And I also rejoice in God's judgments because it keeps me in line. It also shows me that those who stray from God's law and God's word are going to be under these judgments. And by the way, Lord, keep these people away from me. If they want to speak reproach and contempt against me, if they want to speak against me because I meditate in your word and that's all I want to do and your will and word is being worked out in my life, then get them away from me. Remove them. And again, you might think that, well, that kind of displays a holier-than-thou attitude. No. If you really care about your walk with the Lord, you have to know that the influences that are around you are affecting how you respond to God's Word. Verse 24, your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. So there's two things. The testimony of the Lord from His Word is what He delights in. That's what He takes pleasure in. And they act as His counselors. That's why He says, remove these people away. God's Word is my counsel. I don't want to hear any reproach, any contempt. I don't want to hear you speak against me. That is not the counsel of God. This is the counsel of God, the Word of God. This is His counsel. That's why we spend so many hours in the Scripture every week. Because, as Timothy was told, present the whole counsel of God, not just part of it, little bits and pieces. Learn everything from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22. Learn it all. Psalm 1, the very first psalm. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man, here's our word again, to be blessed by God. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. We get input from many sources, including our own feelings, friends, relatives. We have all kinds of counselors. And we're going to walk in some kind of a decision or some kind of counsel. To walk means to make a decision and go that way. But the man who is blessed of God, he does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Now in Psalm 119, the psalmist says he takes delight in the Lord's testimonies and in the counsel of the Lord through his testimonies. So he says, get these people away from me who are of reproach and contempt, who speak against me. I want to know what God thinks, because I want to do what God says. So blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now notice the progression, if you will. First of all, it's blessing upon the man who does not walk. Now notice it's walking. If you listen to the counsel of the ungodly and walk in that way, notice what happens next. Nor stands in the path of sinners. Next thing you know, if you're listening to what they tell you to do, you're no longer walking, you're standing. And it's in the path of sinners. And notice what the next step is. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Next thing you know, you're sitting amongst people who scorn what God's Word says. You see the progression. All it takes is walking with people who are giving ungodly counsel. They're not giving the counsel from God's Word. And you start walking that way with them, and before you know it, you're standing in the path of sinners. You're no longer walking with the Lord. You're not even walking, and before you know it, you're sitting right in the midst of the whole mess. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. There's the counsel. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That parallels Psalms 119. Experiencing all the fullness of all that God is and all of His blessings is because the psalmist says, you know, the blessing of God upon the one who does not listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Psalm 119, verse 24, the psalmist says, I take delight in your testimonies and in your counsels, God. God's counsel. Get these other people away from me. I just want to hear the counsel of God. And so in Psalm 119, you have a progression. The blessing upon God, a person who remains in His Word. And by the way, in John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus told the disciples, if you remain in my word, then you are my disciples. It's kind of interesting. It's not the person who goes to church. It's not the person who says they believe. It's a person who remains in God's word. Why is it so hard for people to hear God's word and stay with it? Because God's word acts as a mirror. Okay? And it convicts us of our need of Christ, and of our rebellion and of our sin. Now why does God do it? That's a blessing. Because once we realize our need, we take action on God's Word. We confess our sin. John says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, it's confessing sin and being cleansed of my sin. How can I cleanse my way? By taking heed, responding to God's Word. Letting God's Word be an overseer of my life and a guard of my life. And what does that do for me? Well, we saw in the third section, God opens the eyes of our hearts. He reveals to us the supernatural, spiritual truths of God that we might see Him. So why do I have to go through all that? So I can get to that point where He starts showing me. I start seeing Him in the Word. I start having fellowship with Him and experiencing all the fullness of who He is. But I have to go through the process of seeing my need and confessing my sin and meditating in God's Word and having my heart cleansed so that I will have a pure heart so that I can see God. He wants me to see Him. He wants me to know Him. He wants me to experience all the fullness of all that He is. But that doesn't happen just because I'm a Christian. It happens because I become a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. Just going and understanding and receiving God's ministry, that's nice, but it takes a response. Let's close with prayer. Lord, what a blessing it is to be able to look into the perfect law of liberty. Teach us to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Teach us to not be forgetful, but to remember what we've seen and the conviction that we sensed and our need for Christ. And help us to see. To hide your word in our hearts keeps us from sin. Help us to meditate on your word day and night, as we saw in Psalm 1 and Psalm 119. Meditating on God's word reminds us and refreshes us continuously so that we do not forget. Lord, so that we can remain in a place where you continue to open the eyes of our hearts that we might see a supernatural work of God, and to be able to see God Himself, to sense the reality of His presence with us all the day long. It will also make us sensitive to the influences around us. And may we respond to that also. No matter what people say, may we consider it to be precious, that relationship and fellowship that we have with You, so that we will not let anything or anybody contaminate it. We thank You for Your Word, and may we be cleansed and encouraged tonight because of this time in Your Word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.